I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, nurses and other professions are no longer going to be professions under the Trump administration. The downgrading designation will cap how much federal money students in these areas can borrow as they pursue their degrees. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
As you reflect on the causes that matter to you this holiday season, consider supporting TPR. Throughout 2025, you relied on us for fair-minded journalism and thoughtful programming. Now, with federal funding for public media gone, your support is essential to keep TPR strong in the year ahead. Whether you make a one-time gift or become a sustaining supporter, you help ensure this service continues. Give online at tpr.org today.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Nurses will no longer be a profession under the Trump administration. Also, physical therapists, social workers, physician assistants, and other careers, they all will no longer qualify as having professional degrees. We're already dealing with a shortage of nurses. This will make that problem in healthcare worse. We're joined by Jack Frazee, Director of Government Affairs and General Counsel for the Texas Nurses Association. Jack, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you are a nurse, if you work in any of these professions, if you're hearing about no longer professional degrees, if you wanted to go into nursing as a nursing student, how does this impact you? Do you take this as some nurses have been reported saying, it's a slap in the face? Well, do you feel that way? We'd love to hear from you. 833-877-8255. Jack Frazee, what was your reaction? How should we be looking at this turn of events?
Well, I can tell you what we've heard from our members and nurses across the country is that they're certainly upset about the messaging aspect of this. It's a long-running thing that nurses have been really working hard to demonstrate the professionalism of nursing. And so the message as it's been received by nurses is that they're basically being told they're not professionals. Now, one thing to be fair to the Department of Education, they did put out a statement saying that this is not a value judgment on the profession. Essentially, they are reaching back to a regulation that defined professional degrees back in the 60s when we didn't have a lot of graduate nursing education. So it's interesting to see sort of how they're trying to explain the difference between the perception of the profession versus what this regulation is saying and how it affects their student loan caps.
But that doesn't really kind of sync up to me, because they say we're not downgrading how much we think how great you guys are. Keep doing the work that you're doing. We just don't want you to borrow more for your education. We're just trying to cap how much your degree program. We're going to restrict borrowing to what, $50,000 a year with a $200,000 lifetime cap. And so that's what it's all about. But I mean, if you respect the career, if you respect what these people do, if you know they need a whole lot of training and it's not an easy job, highly specialized these days, then you got to recognize they need that training.
I couldn't agree more. The impact of this that we're really concerned about is a lot of the degrees that nurses are going to graduate school for are either advanced practice degrees or degrees that could lead to them then educating the next generation of students. So it's not only going to impact graduate level education and how many nurses can go to graduate school, but we're worried about the downstream effects that it ends up having on faculty for undergraduate education. So the potential implications are pretty significant.
So there are people who want to go into the nursing profession. They're not going to say, oh, they they no longer consider it a professional degree, so I don't want it anymore. That's really not what it is. People want to go in, they want to serve, they want to do the work. But by downgrading this, then does it make it harder to get the degree?
Yes. I mean, if you can't afford the cost of the higher education and you're having to look to things like private loans that may be dependent on your credit score or have more onerous provisions or higher interest rates, it's definitely a disincentive to continue going through graduate school.
So what problem do you think the administration is trying to solve by capping federal graduate student loans for nursing?
Well, I guess it helps to give a little bit of background. This originally came out of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that was passed earlier this year and is now being implemented by the Department of Education. And what the Department of Education has said is that the policy rationale is to try and reduce the availability of funds to then pressure schools to bring down their tuition. And so the policy rationale that they've stated is that essentially if you make funds too available, it incentivizes schools to increase tuition costs. And by capping this, it's going to force the schools to reduce their tuition. And my understanding from talking with folks in higher education is that that's not a completely accurate picture. And if you don't have, coupled with that, some tuition reduction policy incentives, then it really doesn't alleviate the tuition issues.
Yeah. So is there evidence that reducing access to borrowing will pressure universities to cut their tuition prices rather than shift costs elsewhere?
I have not seen that evidence myself.
And is this really something that so this is about federal borrowing. Does that cost the federal government money?
Well, they're certainly putting up the stakes for the student loans. The question, I think, for a lot of these degrees is, will the student be able to pay the loans back? And that's another thing that kind of cuts against this policy choice. If you're looking at the folks who qualify for the professional elevated loan caps, there are some degrees in there that their starting salaries are lower than what most graduate prepared nurses are making. So just as an example, if you're looking at average earnings for starting salaries, nurses with graduate degrees can come out making about $130,000 a year, whereas folks who have professional degrees in theology or something like that might make about half that amount in their starting salaries. And that's nothing against theologians, but if we're just thinking through what is the rationale and who's able to pay this back, nurses are very well positioned to ultimately pay those student loans back.
And theologians are one of the areas that are still going to be considered professional degrees. They're not being capped.
That's correct.
Which I thought was odd. You know, why theologians? You know, we need nurses. How badly will this impact the availability of nurses?
Well, it's hard to know fully. One of the things that the Department of Education has stated as its rationale for this cap is that in their internal data, most graduate degrees that they see for nursing would still be able to be paid for under these caps. Now, that being said, a lot of the graduate degrees that would be in excess of these caps are exactly the ones that would go on to educate nurses in the future. So doctorally trained graduate nurses and the like. And so, again, what we're really concerned about is the downward pressure that this ends up putting on nursing education. And that includes registered nurses, because one of the big drivers of the shortage of nurses here in Texas is a shortage of faculty. I think another thing that's helpful for your listeners to understand is that currently in Texas, we have a shortage of about 45,000 nurses to meet the demand that we have. We're also seeing a rapid increase in folks that are over the age of 65 because the baby boomer generation is retiring, and people over the age of 65 tend to have greater demand for nursing services. So if we're not working very hard to alleviate that nursing shortage, then we're going to see increased demand on a smaller and smaller supply of nurses.
We're taking a break here. We're going to continue our discussion about the downgrading of the profession of nursing, at least according to the education department, and making it harder for students who want to study nursing to get the funding that they need to do that. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source will continue after a one-minute break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking about the impact of the Congress's failure to extend the ACA Affordable Care Act subsidies. But right now, we're talking about nursing. Nurses, it's no longer going to be considered a professional career, a professional education by the Trump administration. The Trump administration says these limits on these graduate loans are needed to reduce tuition costs. It believes that capping student loans will push universities to charging, it will get them to lower their tuition rates. And it defines what counts as a professional degree. But the Education Department turned to a 1965 law governing student financial aid. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that a lot has changed since 1965, particularly when it comes to healthcare. We're speaking with Jack Frazee, a Director of Government Affairs and General Counsel for the Texas Nurses Association. So this is also, if people who are paying attention have noticed, that these are careers that the Education Department has singled out that women make up to 3/4 of the full-time year-round healthcare workers in the United States and account for a much higher share of these jobs as dental and medical assistants that are also being impacted here. So they're seeing this as something that could impact women mainly. Is that something that the Texas Nurses Association has noticed?
Well, it's not wrong. I mean, the nursing profession is a primarily female profession. There's a growing proportion of it that is male, but it is still a female-dominated profession. So if you're thinking about policy changes that affect the lives of working women, any change in nursing policy is going to have a disproportionate impact on women.
It's also been seen as a great career for someone who is pursuing upward mobility. I mean, it is hard, hard work. You're going to earn every nickel two times over, yet it's an opportunity to work hard and be compensated for it. And so we have a lot of people who come into this field who are from the, you know, who are attracted to that. I mean, is that also something to consider?
Absolutely. I mean, the earnings that come with a nursing degree are really significant for folks who, you know, didn't have that opportunity before. That's a big.
And Jack, was this come out of the blue? Was this something that you guys knew was going to happen?
Apologies, I'm getting some interference in the audio here.
All right.
Could you ask that again?
Yeah. Did this come out of the blue? Was this something just dropped out of the sky, or were there rumblings that this was something the Trump administration had been cooking up?
Well, this was actually in the bill from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. I had not heard about it until the bill ultimately was under consideration and passed. The thing that's important now is that the statute leaves it to the Department of Education to decide what falls into the definition of a professional degree or not. And so they're the ones that have the power to adjust that definition. They're going to be issuing a proposed rule. We're thinking about January of this next year, and then that'll be an opportunity for the public to comment and let them know that nursing should be included in that expanded definition.
Right. So there is a role for the public to have in here in pushing back or letting people know that they're not happy with this. Beyond the Texas Nurses Association and nursing associations across the country, do you think that everyone should be talking about this?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that is a person is going to have healthcare needs at one point or another. And if you've been trying to get healthcare since the COVID-19 pandemic, you've probably noticed it can be challenging. There's been a lot of parts of the healthcare sector that really took a heavy hit from the pandemic, and we've been working very diligently to rebuild the system coming out of it. But if you're worried about potentially longer waits for care or delayed care, solving the nursing shortage is a really important part of preventing that from happening. So for anybody that wants to have high-quality care, accessible care, this is an issue that you should care about.
833-877-8255 if you want to join the conversation. If you're a nurse, you're thinking about joining a nursing career, someone in your family, do you think that this move to downgrade this category of the career is going to be good for or bad for our healthcare system? We'd love to hear from you. 833-TPR-TALK. So the proposal would allow professional program students to borrow up to $50,000 a year, $200,000 total, while other graduate students would be limited to $20,000, $100,000 total. So these numbers, I mean, how out of line is that with the actual needs? So how much more does a student who is pursuing a program to become a nurse, how much more do they need than $50,000 a year?
It's going to vary depending on the program. You know, like I said earlier, the DNP graduate level education tends to be on the more expensive side. The same for nurse anesthetists who are helping with anesthesiology in the hospital setting. So there's a significant number of degrees that fall into a cost that would be greater than those caps. The Department of Education has said that within their own internal data, they think about 95% of degrees would be covered within the $100,000 cap. But I have yet to see that data and independently verify it.
How is the administration responding to this outcry that this is a move that is going to hurt the availability of nurses in the future and hurt overall healthcare?
Well, as I mentioned, there was a statement put out by the Department of Education responding to a lot of the concerns that they were hearing and same concerns I've been hearing. So at least somebody in the Department of Education has been made aware of this. They are currently in their rulemaking process, so really the next avenue for directing communication to the department will be once they propose the rule and start accepting public comments.
Well, the department has said that 95% of nursing students will not be affected. It does seem like they're looking more at the nurses who are not pursuing advanced practice roles. So I don't know if – tell me what you think about that 95% number.
You know, it's interesting. There are certainly a number of advanced practice degrees that would fall under those caps. But like I said, the ones that we're particularly worried about are the ones that then feed back into the education system. And I'm aware of several graduate degrees that cost more than those caps. And when I've talked with nurses who have gone through the process themselves, they are all telling me, hey, this is not adequate. In my experience, it costs more than this. So it's interesting. I'd be curious to see their data. I have yet to get my hands on that data, but just talking with nurses, they are not in agreement with the statement that it's not going to have a significant impact.
So you're saying that 95% of nurses won't be affected, something the department says, education department says, you don't think that's accurate?
Well, I don't know because I haven't been able to look at the data, but like I said, talking with nurses, as I do, you know, day-to-day in my job, they have told me that it would not be adequate to cover their own expenses.
So students who are already enrolled in nursing programs, are they going to be impacted by this, or are they going to have the rug pulled out from under them?
Well, the change is supposed to go into effect later this next year. And so for folks who are just starting in the pipeline, it's going to be a change that's happening in the middle of their education. So especially, you know, take, for example, somebody who's in a four-year program getting their BSN and wanting to go on to graduate school. If they had already planned from the jump to go to graduate school, it's a change that's going to affect them.
So the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, they put out a statement saying that if this goes into effect, it's going to strain nursing workforce already. And they call it, quote unquote, devastating. They're not holding back. So if that prediction is true, this is a self-imposed, unnecessary impact. It's going to be hurt the healthcare unnecessarily. I mean, it doesn't look like this change is actually going to improve the budget. It doesn't impact the national budget. It's just something that's really just going to be making becoming a nurse more difficult. They say it's devastating. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely share that concern. You know, that's another thing that I find interesting about this contention from the Department of Education about 95% of degrees falling within the caps. If that is true, the additional folks that would be cut out, you know, they're going to be able to pay back their student loans. These are good-paying jobs, and I don't see any reason why we should be cutting out 5% or any more from our education pipeline when we have an ongoing shortage that's throughout the nation and especially acute here in Texas.
Do you see this bleeding into the political sphere, that this could become an issue in the midterms? People should be asking their candidates, where do you stand on the downgrading of the nursing profession and getting their politicians to, you know, stake out a claim that they're not going to allow this to happen?
Absolutely. I mean, I encourage all of our members to get to know candidates who are running for any elective office, regardless of the party that they're affiliated with, and ask them questions that are going to be relevant to what the profession needs, but then also what their patients need. And if you're not getting adequate responses from them, that should inform your vote.
So how do you respond to concerns that private loans will be made more expensive, will have fewer protections, will have increased default risk if this allows to go through, and that hurts nurses, therefore it hurts healthcare?
I'm very much concerned about that. I mean, anytime you're shifting the borrowing to private loans, you have all kinds of concerns that come from that. And if you're thinking about, you know, graduate school, especially in nursing where you have intensive clinicals and a lot of time commitment, you really don't have a lot of time to be working a full-time job while also doing your graduate education. And it's the folks that are early in their careers pursuing these graduate degrees that really haven't had time to build up high credit scores or anything. So they're looking at potentially high interest rates, more onerous terms around repayment, just less generous terms in general. And so then that affects the financial well-being of the nursing workforce. And if you have nurses that are stressed about paying back their private loans, that obviously is not beneficial to patient care. We need folks that have given them student loans on fair terms and allow them to do their work and pay back the loans as we know they'll be able to do.
During the pandemic, we were celebrating nurses, calling them heroes. They were there night and day, taking care of people in their terrible conditions. We had the lack of personal protection equipment. They were really there for us. And now, you know, this is happening. Does this make, if there's another pandemic or some other massive event, this exposes us to more harm?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I think should be a big takeaway from the pandemic is we went into it with a nursing shortage, and then we had a really significant increase in demand for nursing services because of this disease burden. And so that put a huge amount of stress on the existing workforce. I spoke with a nurse at really the peak of the pandemic who was in her 60s. She had planned on retiring right before the pandemic hit and decided to stay on to be able to help us get through that period of time. And she told me that at the time she was working about 100 hours a week, which is just a truly heroic amount of time to be putting into taking care of patients. And so if we're not set up with a good supply of nurses to meet the demand and another pandemic hits, it's going to be incredibly difficult to cover the workload, and especially if you have an already exhausted workforce.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that there will be enough pushback to get the administration to, you know, all it takes is just, you know, Donald Trump to move his pen across the page in order to change all this? I mean, but it just takes a public outcry.
Well, that's certainly the hope. And, you know, if there are any folks at the Department of Education listening to the program, I hope they're taking note and recognizing, you know, what we're really looking for is a change in the definition of who qualifies for those professional loan caps so that we can ensure enough nurses are being trained.
I mean, these are loans. These are not handouts. These things get paid back. It's just allows us to have more nurses.
That's right.
Jack Frazee is the Director of Government Affairs and General Counsel for the Texas Nurses Association. Jack, thank you so much for coming on and telling us the deep details that are important about these developments. Appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.